extreme. I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-T-I-C. Fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E. Fanatic. I'm not extreme. I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
The world's trying to tidy up, exfoliate they skin. But only Christ can come and exfoliate they sin. And they fate look grim if they don't take him. As the high priest, he is the mediate they sin. The world got too many gods, man, we choose the one. From Hebrews, he rules, he rules his son. He moves his son. So if we praying in our schools, call us fools, cause our God's too true to shun. Channels 2 and 1, man, it looks the same. TV make a lot of Christians seem dramatically strange. Though we may be looked upon as one and the same, we will not turn to shame. We proclaim the name Christ Jesus. Believe us, you ain't gotta receive us, but we gon' follow our God wherever the Bible leads us. And you can call us dramatic, fanatic, emphatic, but hey, while you at it, take a look at our mathematics.
I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C fanatic. I rip Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C fanatic. I rip Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
What can I do to make it simple, make it plain? Christ came, emptied himself, and let our sin hang him. You couldn't blame him for any sin while they singing many men. The crucifixion was pretty grim. But when we state the fact that God resurrects, we get funny looks from a world who doesn't get that we are not David Koresh or Krishna or the people on TV who glorify in the bishop. From Edward to Piper, MacArthur to Spurgeon. From Dallas to France, from Cali to Berlin. It's Christians all over who get in the word, and we ain't crazy, we just understand the truth and we burdened. Yeah. The world sees us evangelical Christians as narrow-minded fanatics with a mystical mission, labeled extremists for sharing our faith. But that's cool, we can carry the weight of persecution, cause earth is losing. And if we yelling the truth, we honored to be the people that our God's using. So keep it moving, cause if we yelling the truth, we honored to be the people that our God's using.
I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-T-I-C fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
They thought Jesus was out of his mind, they laughed and mocked him. Called him a cult leader and they tried to stop him. Pharisees said Christ got his power from Satan. Hating on the very one that came to save him. Even after he rose, man, the world ain't changed. They still rejecting the name, still look at us strange. Still tell us without shame that our faith's insane. And they don't take all that to be a Christian, man. And it's hard when you're trying to reach your family and stuff. They say, man, you too spiritual, you doing too much. So we show them the love of Christ and living the light, so they can glorify God when they look at our life. And we win for sharing the truth and hearts get changed. We win if we're rejected because of his name. We win if seeds get planted and watered to grow. But even if we lost, we still be fanatical though.
I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that song. Amen. Fanatic. Hallelujah. You know, people are fanatic about a lot of things. You know, things that can't help them, meet their needs, heal them, deliver them, bless them, save them, keep them. But when you're a fanatic for Jesus, amen, that's a person that you can be fanatical for. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. To the Lord God Jehovah, who is the Father of all and Creator of all. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost, the Keeper, the Comforter, the Deliverer. Amen. Hallelujah. To Pastor O, my producer and his lovely wife and Run for Christ ministry. Amen. And all the saints and friends and all the new and old here and there all over the place. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Welcome to another exciting training day. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. It wasn't manufactured on assembly line. It wasn't made by man, but the Lord himself made it brand new. Never been used before. Amen. You know, as we're continuing, amen, on this, what the hell, what is the devil? The point is to try to get your mindset of accepting the reality, adjusting to the reality that there is God, that don't have a birthday, and there is a devil, and there is man, and there are angels, and there are demons. And if you do not recognize them, you're going to be victimized by them. The question has been, was why? Why all this? Why didn't God make life just perfect, heavenly, straight from day one? Well, you really have to look at the totality of creation, or you have to look at God. Okay, he's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. When he made Adam, if he had not made Adam with limitations, built him a soul, Adam would have been equal to him. I know that's hard for some people to digest, but that's the reality of it. When you look at the magnitude of the challenges that life presents us, things for me, I don't know about you, but things for me, when I think of this as training as a spirit man, that this is necessary. The fact that came through a type of evolutionary process is still, when you think about it from God's point of view, it was still necessary. We've never been here before. We've never existed before. I know there's certain cultures that think people do reruns, but, that's another trick of the devil. This is what we're going to be talking about today. See, and if you've read the Bible, you'll find that God repeatedly in both the Old and the New Testament command people to come to him. Because at the end of the day, even though he has always had those who've been close to him, that have come to him, that teach his word, that share the reality, they could only share what he revealed. Okay? Think about it. Noah obviously was as smart an engineer as any engineer that exists now. He built the first cruise liner, commonly known as the Ark. He had to go to school directly from God. God had to teach him how to make tools. God had to teach him how to use select materials, how to mix chemicals, how to do it, because he had to make the boat leak-proof. I mean, that thing was up on the water for a long time, and it was full of animals. And like I say, he couldn't go to Titanic ship line and order a boat. See, so the mental capacity was there, but what you see is the lack of discipline. And without a revelation of the need for that discipline, man would do what man is doing. Before the flood came, the reason the flood, even before the flood, man had come up with various types of religious beliefs. You know, a lot of these archaeologists are discovering some of those artifacts from that era. And so they tend to think, seemingly, Christianity is one of the youngest religions, as they call it, that it is not the original, and that even in some cases they'll go so far to say, many people will say it's not the right one, and then they'll say it don't matter. Well, see, now the problem is you got to, like I said, you got to understand the spirit man, and the reason I'm using that term is because of the confusion that people come over some drama because earlier teachers, they used God man, and they didn't know that they was using a small g. Whenever you use God and man together without talking about Jehovah God, you're talking small g. There is only one Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, El Shaddai, But this, You got the, my question was, same as everybody else. You could have made this heaven. Why not? So put the question out there. Let me tell you, sometimes if you give God a question, he may not answer that day. Now, it isn't that he don't answer. It takes some kind of, it's something about the way that we receive through our spirit. It takes a while for us to get the answer. All right. But everything that comes from God must line up with his word, must line up with his purpose. Okay. So we've been talking about the devil and how he came about. Last session, we were talking about the deception that went on in the garden and how Satan used the as the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He tried it on Adam and Eve, and he succeeded with it because they didn't have no defense. You have to remember that everybody in the Bible did not have a Bible. Adam was first one. He did not have the opportunity to go to whatever Bible training center to get all this information because it hadn't been documented. Now, could God have gave him all that information right off? It was there. It was in his spirit. Because if you read in the scripture, you'll find that Adam named all the animals that you see right now. So it's obvious that the information was there. But still, being the spirit man and not being God, God kind of gave it to me like this. It's like him giving you a 747 in pieces. He give you the manual that will show you how to assemble it, put it together, and then a second manual that will teach you how to fly. Now, just think about how long that would take. I mean, you look at the complexity of your existence. You could take your hand and open and close it in a second. But in that second, you have sent 10 million signals to billions of cells that are not glued together, that are not held together by wire, that are not magnetized, that are actually separate little entities, but they follow your command without you opening your mouth. That's how complex we are. I once heard a teacher years ago, many years ago, decades ago, say that what it takes God to run the universe is what it takes man to manage the body. You know, I was fortunate to come up in an era where teachers believed in God and could talk about God, and they wasn't trying to get away from God. See, because there's a reality. God set in there this safeguard called death. You can't beat that. You know, they tried. They spent billions of dollars trying to prevent man from dying, but it ain't going to happen. You know, there's a transition, and it's that transition. This, if you notice, the base scripture for us in training day is in 1 John 3:2 and in Philippians 3:20 and 21. And it says, dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be like has not yet been made known. But we know that when he, talking about Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay? And, I mean, think about that. To get an understanding of what that means, you got to go back and look at every event, particularly the supernatural ones, that Jesus performed that was beyond the imagination. I mean, you think about the upset that he caused back during that era, you know, his death, because man could not be made 100% perfect. Everybody was going to have that flaw because everybody was not going to be 100%. That did not negate the necessity for salvation. That's something that we have to gravitate to, okay? We have to gravitate to that reality. And you can only get there by revelation, which is the primary job of the royal priesthood of God, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, to intercede so that God can connect. You have to look at how he structured life. He gave man control. He made man in his image and likeness. And he took and he gave man dominion. And God has not rescinded that. That does not end until Jesus comes after the end of the tribulation period. Then it'll be under another control. Jesus will be running things. He will be, and if you know anything about Jesus, everything come out of his mouth started with God's mouth. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. Everything come out of his mouth, started with God's mouth, through Jesus' mouth, through the Holy Ghost's mouth. And there's never any deviation, none, zero, not a 100%. I know it's complex, and I know it's not that easy to grasp. But you know what? This is why it has to come by revelation, by you pursuing God and asking him and praying and drawing near to him, and the revelation will come. God will show you some things. Most people that you find that are real close to God, you can't shake their faith. They've had some experiences. They might not be able to break it down analytically, but they know that they know that they know. Friends, when you praying, when I'm praying, there's sometimes when I'm praying and worshiping, you feel the presence of God. And there's a time that I labeled it the Lord of hosts. When he shows up, it's incredible. You have no doubt. And there are other little things he'll do. And then there's things, doors he'll open, ways he'll make. All right. Now, let me get on here. So today, last time we talked about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. So now we're talking about how Satan accesses the world. Both God and the devil have to utilize mankind in order to get into the world, you know, in order to control things. Now, they can use the elements, okay? I don't want to get too far off. I'm using up enough time as it is. They can use the elements. So I want to go with one situation, and the reason I'm bringing this issue up, or reason I was given this issue, we are no longer in the last days. We're in the end of days. I mean, we're in the clock down countdown with the clock at 11:59 and 59 seconds. We can't really pinpoint to the minute the rapture, but what Jesus told us to watch for was the seasons. He said, no man know the day or the hour, but he said, it's for you, not for you to know. He told the disciples when they asked, it's not for you to know the seasons. Okay, we know the season. We're in the season. We can look at how crazy the world is. If you turn on the news is causing people to commit suicide and homicide. It's driving people crazy. Why? Because they have no hope. And my hope is to drive more people to God, to help them understand, to get, because if you get closer to God, you feel hope. You feel hopeful. I know I do. All right. So they both need access into the world. This is the point. Okay. I can tell you this wasn't a prophecy given to me. This is an observation of having been here 45 years, been a Christian for over 45 years, and understanding and spending many hours in time in prayer and study, okay? Some things haven't changed, or like I said, the game plans haven't changed. All right, so what's about to happen is the rapture. Approximately 1 billion people going to disappear off the earth in a millisecond, just going to disappear. How would you explain that disappearance? Now, the simplest way is UFOs. That was another question I had. I have seen UFOs. I have seen UFOs with witnesses. I have seen UFOs that was recorded in the news, spoke about on the news. Of course, the government denied it. And next month, Congress is going to have to tell the truth about UFOs. Now, I know it seems like as vast as the universe is that there might be somebody else out there. Listen, God, Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things belong to the Lord, and the things that I reveal belong to us. Okay? If you send me an email saying I got that backwards, it doesn't matter. I got the scriptures. Deuteronomy 29:29. I'll just pray for you. The point of it is if God did what God holds as secret, nobody knows. It's not known by anybody, either angels, nobody, okay? So the fact that UFOs have been seen and documented, they can't deny, so they've known, so they ain't a secret. The government keeps it a secret, talking about they going to keep panic down, you know, anyway. All right, so any of us, those of us that have read the entire Bible, we've seen some stuff that make UFOs like, man, it ain't no big thing. You know, you read the book of Revelation, you talk about some UFOs. So what would be the purpose? You got to have an explanation. I could tell you some things that's going to go down. But now, this is what I expect to see. Before the rapture, okay, because understand what Satan is up to. He's up to deception, deceiving people, okay, so that they'll be left behind, so that they'll turn away from God and believe all this other stuff, like he got people believing, like reincarnation, and that there's more than one God, or it don't matter which God you believe in. God says repeatedly he is the only God. Anything outside of God is a demon. I don't care what they call itself, what they do. Now, as far as they're doing magic, let's look at some of this. We're going to start out back with Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 7. We're going to see him manifest some of his foolishness. Understand, Satan, you know, I watch these historical programs and I see they find these carvings in the wall that are 3,000 years old as they document it anyway. And then they have these pictures of what seemingly are spacecraft. Well, you have to understand that demons, like I said, they are allowed. Satan is allowed. Satan is the god of this world, god of this age, this period, between man and between God. He's small g God. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians 4:4. So he is allowed because how he tricked Adam out of control, that gave him access to this earthly material. Now he has the intelligence to build a spacecraft. He don't have to go to MIT. Okay, you know, he taught them a lot of stuff. They just don't know it. That's why he go back and double-cross them when they don't give him glory for it, you know. Anyway, case in point, the average last time I checked, it switches back and forth. The highest IQ was like 246. Satan is 10 times that, at least, 2,500. Fortunately, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and you receive the Holy Spirit, your IQ, you have access to a person whose IQ is off the chart. There is no limit. Other than that, Satan now is limited. He cannot do physical manifestations in the presence of a Christian. This is why witchcraft is so big. I have no doubt these people have seen him or an apparition of him, and that he did some things. You know, I've talked to them. And you know, that's the one thing as a Christian. This is why Peter said, be prepared to give every man an answer of the hope that you have within you. So in other words, you have to know the word. You should not have been a Christian for 10 years and encounter somebody that worships Satan and you're a total idiot. Because one thing about it, they know they're devil. You know, they don't know him, but they know, they believe what they believe, okay? They have almost unshakable faith, but again, they're just a sinner that need to be saved by grace, that's all. They, you know, ain't no big thing, you know, they ain't got no more demons than the average dummy. But, all right, so let's look at this incident. So now here you are back, God has just sent Moses back to Egypt, which is a marvelous thing, because Moses left Egypt 40 years earlier. he was probably had a warrant for his arrest for murder and flight to avoid prosecution, and God turned around and sends him back to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. All right. Now, let's go to let's go to Exodus chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 8. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. All right. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh summoned the wise men Now you got to really grasp this. Summon the wise men and sorcerers and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Okay? Each one of them threw down his staff and it became a snake. That's also portrayed in the movie, The Ten Commandments, if you haven't seen it. My favorite one is the one by Cecil B. DeMille with Charlton Heston starring. Anyway, of course, I like the one with Richard Pryor. It's a little too much profanity, but other way. But Aaron's staff swaddled up theirs, okay? Now, and I want to make some serious how we in this area. It said, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard and he would not listen. Earlier before that, God said he would harden Pharaoh's heart. Listen, when you resist God consistently, he will withdraw his mercy and his grace. If you continue to resist, that's what happened. He back up. He says, all right, you want to be that way? He'll let you be that way. And when you be that way, there's only two rulers. There's God and Satan. Satan is never called king in the Bible, ever. he's called a prince, but he's never called king. There's only one king of kings. Anyway, so, but the point here, one, Pharaoh's musicians, under the operation of Satan. Now understand, Satan had to understand the molecular environment during that time, which hasn't changed in all this time. So Satan was able to cause the same molecular changes of a piece of wood into a seemingly living creature. The same way that Aaron did, Aaron under the authority of God. Now, see, this is what you got to watch about Satan, is his thing, his guise of perversion to get you to do the right thing the wrong way and at the wrong time. You got to understand, the power is there. The power is there. Witchcraft is basically illegal use of power. It's like one person has a gun with a license and another person has a gun without it. They both got guns, but one has the right and the authority to use it. This is what God needs for us to understand, is that for all our eternity, we will always have to be under him. And this is the struggle that people have. When you find college professors and all these people that don't want God, they do not want to be under his authority. They will say they don't want to be under man's authority. But a man don't have a heaven or a hell. He just gives out messages. He just passes on what he's been given. All right. But you got to see the depth of this. You got to see the power of you are altering the molecular atmosphere here tremendously. This is not some type of magic show. This is a spirit controlling, doing things at an extremely high speed. You got to understand this. You find somebody that builds robots. They can probably help you understand what it takes to send that many signals to cause that many changes in a millisecond to recreate what a quick response of a human. So to make snakes the same way they did, it isn't creativity. I can't think of another word, but it is fully access to existing material. Do you see what I'm saying? So now the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13, after we'll be gone, okay, we'll be gone, okay, but that the Antichrist and his false prophet are going to be doing what? Miracles. People fall in for that stuff. They see a miracle. See, this is why you can't, this is why everything has to line up with the Word of God. And if it does not, if they deny Jesus, period, is not God. And if it's not God, then the destiny is hell. I'm just being raw about it because my job is to prevent people from going. But as we move forward, I saw during my career in law enforcement an increase of witchcraft. And now with these other cultures where that is common, you got the Indian culture that the India has, like they say they had 2 million gods. No, they had 2 million demons. That's being realistic. There's one God. But they've seen things were like statues with spew milk and blood and all that types of stuff. Satan can do that. So don't be impressed by that. If it leaves Jesus out as Lord and Savior, if it leaves out the Word in any aspect, it's the devil. It's plain and simple. That's why you got to know the Word. See, you can't go by miracles. You know, you saw the same people that received miracles when it came down to the cross. They say, crucify him. that ain't going to change nothing, because the difference is Aaron, you see what happened? Aaron's snake ate up their snakes. See, I have authority over the devil via the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ, you have... when you see Christ, that's the apparatus that God made of his Spirit that allows a connection between us and God with Jesus in the middle. It's more than just a name. It is not Jesus' last name, and it's an authority in the earth. See, and it has far-reaching power. Far-reaching power. This is why I talk about I've had brownouts but not blackouts, okay, unless the company turned the power out. Not, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with how long you've been saved. It does have some criteria to it. You know, at the end of the video, I know I post the 7 reasons that prayer failed. The 7 reasons is pretty much the power would be. And I want to say with that, those 7 reasons, somebody to do that repeatedly. It won't stop you because you through pressure, didn't pay your tithe last month. That doesn't stop all the promises of God. Repent and go about your business. God is there. He forgives instantly. And some of y'all need that. Somebody needs to forgive themselves. Just forgive yourself. Look, God forgave you. Quit asking God to forgive you. Cause and effect will make you remember, and Satan will play you like that. All right. But the point, all I want you to see here, is there are other incidents in the Bible that now, in John 12:31, it tells you Jesus called him the prince of this world. Let's look at that. You know what I mean? Look at what he's called. And that's something I missed last week, but I want to say in the challenge when Jesus was, when Satan approached Jesus, Jesus did not, when Satan told Jesus, if you worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms before you. You have to take note of the fact that Jesus did not dispute that fact. You have to take note of that. Because see, but Jesus, as we know in in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, okay? And the Word was with God. Okay, so Jesus, unlike the first Adam who never had a Bible, Jesus is the Bible. That's a whole different. When you got Jesus, you got the Word. And I'm going to tell you something. I've had that experience from day one. I was being challenged, especially when I was a young Christian. Even though I was wrong in some areas, still, when they would challenge me, the Word would come up in my spirit. The Holy Ghost would quote scripture, and I'd go look it up, and it would be perfect. And they couldn't argue against it. One thing about it, people can't argue with the scripture. That's people that debate with me over training day. Listen. The point of training day is for you to understand that there's a reason for all of this, okay? The magnitude of the power of being a Christian is off the charts. We barely, this little stuff we do down here, I know it gives us chill bumps and all that, watching miracles, but those are events of what we just saw, of complete molecular changes handled power, handled by us and God. Now, there's a cost that goes with that. Because, you know, he said, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So y'all quit whining about the devil attacking you. Who else he going to attack? Well, he do attack his own. I mean, he that kind of ignorant person. But he definitely coming after you. You got power. And if you don't know your power, he will do everything he can to stop you. Why he tell you not to go to church? Because that day, the message that you need to it will help you to overcome what you are challenged with, don't come forth, and you're going to be there, and you won't miss it. And not only did that, there is, wait till I get to teaching on the anointing. All right. But like I said, all this is about the fact that there is coming a deception that's going to be beyond imagination and people are going to fall for it. The Bible tells us it's going to be a great falling away. Why there's a massive outreach going on at the same time and people getting saved all over the place, you're going to have a lot of Christians that don't fall by the wayside. Ain't that something? You're going to have unbelievers coming to Christ and believers leaving him. That's, boy. All right. But anyway, well, I just said, well, we're going to go with that. It says, Jesus just said, and now is the touch, now is the time for judgment on this world, and now the prince of the world will be driven out, okay? And that's really, that's a deep statement right there. If you really look at what is going on, because later on, Jesus was executed, okay? But see, it's a time process. You got to connect this to the other aspect. We're going to live 1 billion years. We're going to live beyond 1 billion years. 1 billion years from now, can you imagine the experience of your life that you will remember? Yeah, I remember back in the year 15,024 when I was a young buck. I mean, come on now. We're talking something off the charts here. There's no way God could do this you can't get this in a four-year degree. A four-year degree is just telling you need to learn more. That's what you end up learning. If you graduated from, I don't care whose Bible college, it just gave you, you're at the foot of the mountain. Look up, because it's, I tell you what, you can tell where you are. Try to walk on water. Next time you step on a bathtub, see if your foot goes straight to the bottom. If you can't step on a bathtub of water and float on the top, you ain't went nowhere, because Jesus walked on the water. Complete command of the atmosphere. Spoke to the wind. Complete command of the atmosphere. Acts chapter 1, when he left, he did not go to an airline. He was not beamed up in a spaceship. He just floated on up. Complete command. That kind of power in the wrong hands could destroy this planet instantly. All the nuclear arsenals of all the nations together don't have that power, but one Christian has. That's why God demanded that we learn how to love our neighbor. And if you don't like one of his people because God chose to not have melanin in their skin, or to measure how much melanin is in their skin, or the length of their hair, the color of their eyes, you better look deep into that, because God ain't, with this kind of power, you know, a lot of folk gonna find themselves not where they think they're going. He ain't playing. They're, anybody's evil. He tell us, when he say forgive, he mean forgive. He mean forgive. That don't mean you can't protect yourself. That don't mean you gotta, but that means let it go. Go on about your business. Stay away from him. Get away from him. All right. Now, I want to look at a little bit about access, how Satan worked in people. Now, I understand the era difference, too. Now, I want to get this out there. Before Jesus died and before the day of Pentecost and before we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before we received that, men could be possessed. Okay, and that's the other thing. A lot of people are seeing that, because I've had encounters with possessed people, and it amazed me. I'll never forget this one individual. He was like all of 5'6", 130 pounds, and I'm down to 230, but this guy was throwing 300-pound deputies around like basketballs. It took nine 200-pounders to take him down and to get him in cuffs, all right? Think about that, all right? Possessed by a devil. And I talked to him. He couldn't even act up in my presence, which was taught me something. Because until you experience something, you don't really realize. I knew I had authority over him. I mean, this guy in front of chief of psychiatry, the head psychiatrist, the director of nursing, in front of the managers of this psychiatric facility where we work, his eyes flashed like yellow, like light bulbs. Blew their mind. You talking about seeing some shaking. All that college foolishness, you can see that went out their head. Because they saw something the college could not, couldn't share with them. Nobody did that foolishness about how we just have our own personal devil. Yeah, you got a personal devil. You do. It's a real devil. You got an angel, too. Matthew chapter 18, I don't know what verse. Read the whole chapter. It's good. But Jesus said you had an angel from the time you came out your mother's womb. Okay? And guess what? Satan assigned a demon as soon as you came out your mother's womb. That's who gave you the bad information. Who the one to tell you to lie? And they speak in first person. You have to remember that. They don't say, they don't suggest. They talk as though it's try to make you think it's your mind. See, you got to be aware of what's going on. Anyway, all right, so where are we going? All right, we're going to Mark chapter 5, and this is one of my favorite stories because it has a lot in it. I don't know if I want to read all this. All right, yeah, it's not that long. All right, you got to get this picture here. It says, Mark chapter 5, and they went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes, and then King James, it says Gadarenes, same location. And when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. The man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart and broke the irons of his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and the hills, he would cry out and cut himself. There are people like that today. There are people like that today. And because people have been engaging in witchcraft, let me tell you something. This is another thing. I got to get this. I know black people, my black people, I know y'all care about your ancestors, but a lot, we wound up in slavery because of witchcraft. If you don't believe, you don't have to believe me. I want you to go to the source who know, who allowed us to become slaves. If you look at God's M.O. through the Old Testament, you go into captivity when you consistently disobey God. I have seen with my own eyes on video a line of people, God said, do not drink the blood. They were standing in line drinking blood out of a caribou's neck. A caribou is a cow-like creature. So, see, that kind of practice, again, engaging in satanic deception, okay? All right. He said, when he saw Jesus, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him and shouted at the top of his voice. Now you're getting the conversation here. What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? Now, that's the devil talking. Swear to God that you won't torture me. Now, I know the translators might have thought that was a good idea, but the Bible tells you don't swear. Okay, but I don't know why they did that. It says, but Jesus said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus asked, what is your name? My name is Legion. He replied, for we are many. Meaning basically this man had 5,000 between, I get different numbers, you know, from historians of what a Roman legion was, 4,000, 5,000. It was a lot. All right. And he begged Jesus again not to send them out of the area. And a large herd of pigs was feeding. So bottom line, Jesus told him, y'all can go into the pigs. All right. But get this. Get this. Look at the power of this man. He's full of demons, 5,000 demons. But see, now if you saw him, he would not be 9 feet tall like Goliath was. Think about that. This guy that we had in jail, he was 5'6". 130 pounds. But when you got this gang, now these demons then could come in and do what? Control your central nervous systems. You know, this is one of the reasons why I knew in the last days that they was going to release the drugs. Now, understand this. You got to see these things under a microscope, okay? Now, people don't get what is transitioning. These things are provoking and perverting your central nervous system. People do things. You see, in the wintertime, you'll see a guy walking around butt naked, and it's zero outside. He's not feeling the cold. You can pounce him. Believe me, I've had to control a guy. he had taken 10 Xanax, legal drugs, taken 10 Xanax and 2 oxycodone, and he was the only guy I had to really manhandled at the hospital. He didn't believe it, so I told him, go look in the mirror. We had to chain him to the bed. They had to monitor him. They had to hook up the heart monitor to make sure that he don't die, because you don't know what them drugs will do. Now you got, I just read about an incident of a 16-year-old that attacked some people. That's my concern. It's going to get into the children's hands. Adults, they can pay the consequences, but you got innocent children out there. And these containers, these drugs they sell in these pot shops, don't have a regulatory take one at midnight or whatever like you have on regular medication. They just give them, and they don't know. They just assume it looks like candy, just like candy. I've seen it. It's really. But what you're dealing with is spiritual manipulation. But once they ingest it, it's the same as having 5,000 demons in there. I mean, you could punch them. I mean, I've seen it. We really had to do some stuff to get control of people like that. And look at how nutty people are, driving and talking and shooting over everything, man. I was dealing with some people yesterday over in Oak Park. About to kill each other. This is crazy. We are in the end of days. See? So the point is, if you're not aware of what Satan can do and will do, you're going to become a victim of it. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line on this. This man, somewhere down the line, there's no history. There was an entry point. There was a connection. This is what I was getting ready to go to. If you got those, I went over a friend of mine's house. They had a whole bunch of Indian artifacts, and I say, do you know what those represent? Because God tells you in the first commandment that you shall not make anything to resemble heaven or earth. No artifacts. I know. You know, the fact of the matter is, your actions speak to demons and give them a legal reaction. That's the key there. Certain things that you do, for instance, people, if you don't play with Ouija boards, okay? That legally allows Satan or demons, the local demons, to come in and attack. They can't possess a Christian. They can't oppress. They can't depress you, which is, sadly, is a lot of that. Tell you about something. You cannot be depressed serving this God and praising him. If you praise God three times a day, that's like for smoking. If you smoking this, a pack of cigarettes, have 20 cigarettes, burn about average 3-4 minutes. You can't praise God 3-4 minutes 20 times a day and be depressed. I don't care what stresses you, because he has an answer. If you do that, Paul said, he'll fill you with his spirit, which means he will fill you with his intellect. That means he'll give you a solution to the problem. He'll tell you what to do. I have a situation that I was just given a revelation on what to do. This is what praises do. Praise is not just a ritualistic act you do to impress other people to show them that you believe the same God they do. It is actually a system that God devised that allow you to draw on the forces of heaven. See, both of them got forces to draw on. See, the difference is the reason why people gravitate towards Satan's way of doing things if they don't have to live right. Deuteronomy chapter 28 says right there in the first verse and the rest of them, if you do what I say, make an earnest effort, hearken. He used the word hearken. If you do what I say. Of course, the end of verse 15, it tells you what happened if you don't. You know, it is. But the point of the matter is that God not only is not trying to just control you because he wants you. I ain't going to get to it today. It's about you being in control. He's just giving you the revelation that you are of his creation. You have his likeness. You have that ability and power, and you need to manage it. But only according to his word. Only according to his word. All right. So we're looking at Mark. So I labeled this guy as a unwilling subject because he probably tampered with something that he didn't know would bring the result that it did. But look at, like I said, look at the power. In verse 4, it says, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons of his feet. And no one was strong enough to subdue him because they didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason that was. I remember another guy we had in jail. We had in jail, they had these gowns that they give suicidal inmates on the psych ward. It's something that if four big guys try to pull it apart, they couldn't do it. So the purpose of it is to keep them from tearing something up. You know, they had a blanket and this gown, and they won't be able to tear it up and tie a rope and hang themselves. But I remember this one guy, he had tore one up. And I could look in his eye. That's another thing. You can look in there in their eye. They'll be looking at you. They'll bark like a dog and try to scare you. You got to remember, you got to know your stand in Christ. And you're going to see more of this in these end of days. Listen, I remember we went on a raid. Well, I went down doing a search and clear in the house and went downstairs, and I see where they have been slaughtering animals. They had the little pentagram, satanic pentagram. And I asked the guy, I said, what is all this, man? Somebody was supposed to keep the police away. It didn't work. But, so we people, like I say, people gravitate to that, say no, because the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Pride of life is, I'm my own person. Well, I'm God's person. I'm not my own person. I'm his. And he is mine. All right. Now we want to look at, in this last second, and we'll pick up here next week, in John 13:27, where I just really need to get to where it says what happened. This is just before the double cross on Jesus. All right? It says, verse 26, John 13:26-27, it says, and Jesus answered, it is to the one, this is what Jesus revealed, that he knows. See, he's got that omniscient spirit going, all right? So you can't deceive him. He knows what's going on. And Jesus answered, and it is to one to whom I will give this piece of bread and whom I've dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. All right? And as soon, in verse 27, as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Now, and then Jesus said, what you are about to do, do quickly. I want to go back to verse 2. There's a process, and this is where we're going to begin up. We're going to pick up on the process next week. In verse 2, it says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. See, he don't just immediately, he starts working on your mind. This is why it says in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the weapons of our war carnal that are man-made. But it tells you that you must cast down every imagination. We're going to talk about that in detail next week. Because this is where he starts the battle. There's an excellent book out by Geoff Myers and me as a Christian never read it. It's called The Battlefield of Your Mind. You need to win the war there. See, anything that come up against you, you are here to learn to do battle. When the doctor tell you your body is growing arthritis, you have to win the battle in your mind and make a decision. Get scripture. I love it because I heard the man, the woman of God say Sunday, Google it. Google up healing scripture. You can do that. God has given us more tools than any generation has ever had. You can Google it. I was really amazed at how quickly Google had put scripture in their system, the Word of God in their system, Bible history in their system. You know, God is awesome. It was almost immediate, you know. They might have had one mindset, if we do this, a lot of Christians will come to the website and we can sell them a lot of stuff. But God had, you know, I call it Gen 50-20. What Satan means for evil, God will do for good. That's from Genesis 50-20, in case you want to look that up. All right. So, but there's a process. And if you think about the last thing you did that was seriously stupid, did you just instantly do it, or was there a process? Did the thought come in your mind? repeatedly. See, because there's a wear down that he uses to convince you, just like he did with Eve, okay? I know, I really don't believe, even though the Bible record that one incident, I'm willing to bet you, I don't want to say bet, I'm willing to donate to whatever your cause is, that Satan had said something to her more than one time. Because it's a process. Because it takes more than that sometimes, particularly, you know. But either way it go, he's going to go for the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. So, the only defense that you could possibly have against this demonic force, even though God allowed it, okay, because again, the reason for it is because you have to manage your spirit. Every action, if you consider these two things, love for God, if Judas had really loved God, now I understand he was, quote, Israeli, Jewish, okay? But where was the love for God? Love for God wasn't a brand new commandment. So that means that I want, that there comes a decision that I have to make. But now we're taking it to another level. We got God on the inside. If Judas had had God on the inside, see, and know that he had it, that wouldn't have been able to happen. Okay? That wouldn't have been able to happen. I tell you, I remember back when I did get saved, that they had just come out with the movie The Exorcist. When I did get delivered, I believe that was around 1976 when I got delivered. I know that's when I got delivered. But I saw something then that I couldn't cut, shoot, or beat. You know, because it wasn't physically like man. You know? So, but the one thing, and you're going to need this, and you need individual access to God yourself, because we don't know what's coming. The persecution and the tribulation is already beginning in the process. I look it over there in Canada, even though I'm praying for them. I'm not going to get into discussion as to how they're handling it, but I'm praying for them. But let's just say, you know, I hear them talk about the FEMA camps. So what if they do take away all our Bibles? Can you stand? See, because I can stand. I mean, you can't. They can't shake my faith, and we don't know how far we will be gone. Where we will be at when the rapture comes. See, we're seeing something. Those of us that are of age note a tremendous difference. But we saw it coming when they first decided that they were no longer, the schools that did pray could no longer pray in school. But my thing for that was, the homes was where the problem was, because I went to school with what I got at home, and I acted in school because of what I was taught at home. Now, but the protection that you need to something worse than COVID probably going to come, all right? But the protection that you need and the assurance you need, dying ain't a problem if you save. I know somebody that got buried yesterday, the few people that got buried the last couple of days. But the one unique thing about them, they had certification of their life through Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity and just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word. I believe that men were born in sin. And I ask, and you have sent your son to die for our sins. And I ask right now for forgiveness for my sin. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And if you backslid, slid away, and this is you, this is your opportunity to come back. Get before God and ask him what caused you to go that way. See, I know we'd come up with a lot of reasons. The people at church hurt our feelings, or my dog Spot died, or whatever. You need God for forever. Okay, this is all temporary. Just say this, Lord Jesus, Father God, I ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. And you said in your word that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And with that, I want to say two things. Remember, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. And remember, prayer is God trusting you with his power. And with that, I'm going to say shalom, which means be at peace, nothing missing, and God bless you. See you next week, or hear you next week. Hallelujah.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.